Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Jacek Kalita, and you are listening to Sorry Partner.
Hello, and welcome to Sorry Partner, a podcast about bridge and all things interesting to bridge players, brought to you by bridge partners and friends, Catherine Harris and Jocelyn Starts. On today's program, we talk with Polish-Swiss champion Jacek Kalita about partnership compatibility, keeping his concentration, and staying match fit. Plus, he shares his top tip for developing players. But first, let's kibitz. Hi, partner.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Jocelyn, I'm really well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I have a lovely story to tell you about bridge, something that happened last night at the table. My partner and I were playing in a teams game, and we were playing against Kevin Rosenberg, the world champion. And my partner was in a two-spade contract and figured she was going down because she was missing the two high trumps. So she conceded, or he claimed, I can't remember which one. Not controversial. We marked it. We went on to the next round. And then partways through the next round, Kevin comes back to tell my partner, actually, she can't help but make it because their trumps are going to crash. And there's really nothing that they can do to stop her from making the contract, even though it seemed like they had to set her one. And I was just very impressed that he was still thinking about it, that he was running the scenarios and the patterns in his mind and realizing, and he was confident that she was going to make it and that the claim or the concession was just not correct. Anyway, I thought that was really lovely. Obviously, it was a club game. It's no great stakes. But Kevin's a real stand-up guy, and he's modeling this kind of behavior with the young players that he is mentoring and playing with all the time. And I can't say enough good things about what he's doing.
Yeah, that's so impressive. And like you said, not only because it happened somewhat in real time at the club, but because of the role model that he is being for these juniors, not only in the game, but in an ethical way to play the game.
Yes. And I was very impressed.
And now it's time for Club Quell.
Club in the Spotlight.
Hi, this is Ellen from Philadelphia in the United States. And my bridge club is King of Prussia Bridge Club in the city of King of Prussia. King of Prussia is home to the third largest mall in the United States. Every store and restaurant imaginable are at your fingertips before or after playing bridge. We are a nonprofit club run completely by volunteers, including our club manager, Mark, who is an expert at making the club welcoming to everyone. We have local artists who, with the loan of their paintings, make our walls look beautiful. One thing I'd like to share about King of Prussia Bridge Club is that we pride ourselves on being extremely welcoming to new and seasoned players alike. Wednesday, we have a barometer game, an idea we gleaned from Kathy Osborne from In Tempo Bridge Club in Scottsdale, Arizona. We call this session Points and Pointers, run by one of our educators, Rex. It's a sanctioned ACBL game, 0 to 20 points. After each board, Rex reviews the bidding and play and responds to questions and comments from the players. We are very proud that we hold two sessions of supervised play a week and always have at least three mentor volunteers at hand to guide these players to becoming increasingly proficient. From supervised play and points and pointers, some of these new players have moved into our limited and open games. King of Prussia Bridge Club has open games 4 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. Wednesday and Saturday are limited games. Every other Monday, we offer special games. Some of these games include pro-ams, handicapped Swiss teams, and parties with chicken salad, which is extremely popular. The best thing about King of Prussia Bridge Club is that we're a family. Visitors are always welcome. We encourage anyone visiting our area to email or call us and come out and play.
So come on down. Email us if you'd like to quell about your club. Club in the spotlight. I'm quelling.
So three letters today, Jocelyn.
Yay.
Slightly unusual because the first two are from the same person, our friend Alan in Texas.
Well, thank you, Alan.
Yes. And they're on the same theme, which is those darn robots.
Yes, we know them.
Yes. So letter number one, in a recent robot game on BBO, I was dealt a nice balanced 16-point hand in third seat. My robot partner opened one no trump. I happily bid four no trump, which my partner promptly raised to six no trump. Out comes the heart five as opening lead. Down comes partner's hand for me to play, a flat 15-pointer that should have been passed at four no trump. After a brief pause for screaming and uttering many bad words about idiot robots, I was able to escape with down one. Looking at the other tables, only two other pairs were saddled with robot partners that misbid to six no trump. The others, except for two pairs, were in four no trump and took 11 tricks. The two exception pairs won 12 tricks on a spade lead from East's six-card spade suit to the Queen 10, a defensible lead against four no trump, but certainly not six no trump. Don't you think BBO should post a warning that playing with robots can be damaging to your mental health? Yes, I do, Alan. Yes, I do. But then I think he's felt guilty because he's written another one saying, dang, actually, I may need to say something nice about those robots. On the last board of a recent BBO robot game, my partner and I engaged in a spirited auction, including, gasp, an elegant new minor forcing sequence that led us into a six-spade contract. Alas, we had a somewhat mirrored shape and we were a tad thin on high card strength. So, in the end, the contract hinged on a finesse for the king of clubs. Since my finesses in robot games almost never work, especially when making a contract depends on it, I was flabbergasted when this finesse did work. I fully expected confetti to burst out and a brass band to emerge from my computer screen. I am still stunned and amazed. Alan. Oh, well, maybe you could have had one of those. You know, you can get that confetti effect on your screen where it all rains down.
That's cute. That would be really cute. BBO.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Add the confetti feature.
Yeah.
For when your finesses actually work.
Our last letter today, Jocelyn, is also on the theme of robots, from Bill, who sends us two limericks. I will tell you what really rots are off-sided honours and well-placed spots and inconvenient voids from those nasty androids. I do detest those BBO bots. And then his next limerick, the robots are pains in the asses. They play low cards and no time passes, but try and finesse, and as you might guess, the king comes slow as molasses.
So true.
So true.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Bill and Alan. So if you have any good stories about impressive displays of ethics, or about those darn robots, or perhaps something nice to say about a robot, please do send them to us at sorrypartnerpodcast@gmail.com. As always, you can find our contact information on our website, sorrypartner.com, along with some other good stuff. And of course, limericks are always welcome.
Coming up next, our interview with Jacek Kalita.
Polish-Swiss champion Jacek Kalita comes from a bridge-playing family, but his passion for bridge didn't kick in until high school, where the game was so popular, students regularly played hands in between classes. He is a world grandmaster, having won 3 Bermuda Bowls and too many other tournaments to list. When he's not playing bridge, he might be playing table tennis. As a child, he was on the national team in his age category. Or he could be hanging out with his wife and 3-year-old son. We began by asking if he'd had any interesting hands lately.
Recently, I started playing with a new partner, Michael Klukowski. And by many, he's considered, you know, one of the most talented players in the world. So I have to say there was one hand that impressed me a lot during Bermuda Bowl. We were playing Belgium, and the trump suit was important. The trump suit was ace, king, 9, and 1 in the dummy, opposite queen, 10, 8, 4 in Michael's hand. And the Belgians led a suit that tapped the dummy. There was stiff in the dummy, and they played ace and another, and Michael had to rough. So there was ace, king, 9 left, opposite queen, 10, 4. He played the ace to check, like, you know, what's going on in the suit. And then in the second round, he crossed to his hand and played low to the 9. And it was successful. He finessed jack 4 in opponent's hand. I have to say that was pretty impressive. And also the tempo he made this play was, I mean, it took him like maybe 10 seconds, everything. So you could imagine I was impressed.
The jack was not singleton, or not doubleton.
No. That was jack 4. It was the only way to make the contract work. And I mean, there was a logic behind his play. He said the reason they tapped the dummy was that it's likely to protect the trump trick in the left-hand opponent, and otherwise they would try some other defense. And so it was not just random play, that there was like a deep reasoning behind it. And yeah, there were many, maybe not as spectacular as this one, but there were many hands he really impressed me.
But I like that, because you're often taught that it's good for declarer if they get to trump in the dummy. So it makes sense. There must have been a reason if they're allowing roughs in the dummy, why they would be pursuing that line. So I like that thinking that he went through, and it does make sense. I wish I could think like that at the table.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing you need to make such play is a lot of courage, because what would you tell to your teammates if this play wouldn't be successful? Like, how did you manage to go down in a cold slam? But I think one of his strongest side parts of the game, of his game, is that, you know, he's not afraid of anything. So you know, do whatever he feels like.
So how long have you been playing with Michael?
Pretty much Bermuda Bowl was the first big tournament we played together in. We played also the European Open teams in Strasbourg, but you know, that was not the same scale of event. So that was like the first real challenge for us.
So partnerships are often complicated. Was one of the reasons that you approached Michael as a new partner because of his courage?
Well, actually, it was not really our decision. I mean, we've been friends forever, but I had quite a successful partnership with my previous partner, Michael Nowosadzki. We joined the team of Switzerland a couple of years ago. We had to find a partner for Pierre Zimmermann. And yeah, we decided as a team that the best partnership would be that Pierre would play with Michael Nowosadzki and I start a partnership with Michael Kukowski.
What were the reasons that it was determined for the Swiss team that the partnerships made the most sense for you to be with Michael Kukowski and Pierre to be with the other Michael?
Well, I think the reason behind it was that Mr. Nowosadzki is, you know, the least temperamental. He's very calm. He never loses his temper. So I think that was the main reason the team decided that they will be a good match. And I think both Michaels had a kind of similar style of playing. They are normally very aggressive, very active at the table. I'm more calm, more stable, I would say. So also the reason that they will think I'll be good match for Michael Kukowski. And, you know, so far it turned out okay. So also we play quite often, you know, just for fun. We were hoping for the best when we started playing together.
I'm interested to explore more about what you were saying about Michael Kukowski and his courage at the table. And I'm wondering, how important is it to you that you admire your partner, not just respect your partner as a player, but is it important to you to admire your partner?
Since a long, long time, I've always played with the world-class players that I could learn a lot from. There is some part of admiring your partner, and like all of them were giving me reasons to admire them. So,
what reasons might a partner of yours have for admiring you?
I don't know. I mean, better ask them. But I think what Kluki is saying he likes about me, that I never give up. I always fight till the end. I don't lose concentration very often. I try to keep ball in play and, you know, let him score. I think we are a good match.
Is holding concentration something that you have worked very hard on, or is it something that you think comes rather naturally to you?
It's a tough question. I think it comes from an experience for sure. The fact that makes you lose your concentration mostly are nerves. So when you're nervous, it's much harder to keep focus. Of course, when I started to play internationally and I started to play, you know, against world-class opponents, I was a bit nervous at first with some time passed, and with like every board I played against them, I started to be more and more calm and just took it, you know, as normal thing. For sure, this helps a lot. And I think the other thing is just like a stamina and also keeping the good physical condition. I mean, these are the main factors that help.
On your Bridge Winners profile, it mentions an interest in table tennis. Is this one of the main ways you keep in physical condition?
Well, not really. I don't play that often anymore. I mean, I play from time to time, but the problem is that now we mostly play during weekends because we take part in several national leagues, and then the Bridge League are also played during the weekend, so I miss a lot of my table tennis matches. But I think table tennis made me play bridge a little bit, because when I was young, I was quite serious with the table tennis. I spent most of the time on the tournaments. And then when I actually not really discovered, because I played from my very young age, but then I started to play bridge and then started to be successful. But I think I've always missed the competition on a high level. And, you know, through table tennis, I started to play bridge professionally.
So you've always been a very competitive person.
I would say so, yes.
And then how did the table tennis lead to the bridge?
Not maybe directly, but at some point, my, let's say, table tennis career started to slow down. I didn't play as well as I used to. And then I started to play more bridge.
You were already a bridge player, but you started playing more competitive bridge when you had more time.
Yes, exactly. I've learned how to play at the age of six, because I'm from a bridge family, so my whole family is playing bridge. So, but at the beginning, it was just, you know, for fun, social game.
So did you resist playing it competitively at first?
Well, I was playing in a league with my father. Like, I played some competitive bridge, but, you know, I had just different things to do. Like table tennis was in the first place, and bridge was more like a hobby. Then when I had more time and then I started to be more successful in bridge, I think, you know, I was missing the competition. I was missing this thrill. So that was the reason I continued.
So the reason you continued, though, was a little bit aligned with your sense of having some success at the game.
Yeah, this could be true. Sure.
Did you know that you were good at it? Could you feel it?
Well, you know, Poland used to have and still have very good programs for young players. Our union is supporting us quite a lot. We were able to go to tournaments. We got some funds to go to tournaments. And we've been quite successful when playing in the juniors. We had a very good team. And then some of my junior teammates are playing professionally and then our world champions are very successful. So, you know, we had very, very strong team at that time, which helped a lot also because I could learn from them. And, you know, I'm not sure if I was very talented, but I caught up to their level and started to play with good partners. When I was starting playing with someone, the guys, I don't know, were considered much better players than me for sure. And probably that was true. So I could learn from them and try to equal the level in the partnership.
Do you have any particularly fun or favorite memories from those days?
Well, I'm not sure if all of them can be revealed, because it could be embarrassing for a lot of people. What can I say? You know, we were young.
Yeah.
We also had a lot of fun when going to the tournaments. So,
well, without naming names, is there one particular memory that stands out?
Well, I can tell you a story from 2008 youth championship that took part in the Olympic Village in Beijing. We were staying in quite a nice apartment. Everybody had his own room and a big living room to party with, mostly. Yeah, things were, there was round robin at the beginning and that playoff at the end. And yeah, things were going well for us. And next to us, there was a team from Iceland that was struggling to qualify to the top eight. Each day they were giving us visits and trying to calm us down because, you know, they wanted to sleep. But when they were coming, we were trying to convince them that's the proper way to train and to prepare for the game. And that's the reason we are so successful. Then, after a while, Iceland went bankrupt at that time during the tournament. Their plane tickets were canceled. A few guys lost their jobs directly because the companies were closed down. And then you can imagine they joined our winning strategy and they become regulars in our apartment.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can you tell us more about those youth bridge programs?
I think in the first place, I can say that the bridge used to be very popular in Poland. In general, we had, I think, a lot of bridge players per capita. I went to a high school when bridge was, you know, like a religion. You couldn't go there if you didn't play bridge, basically. Like, we played bridge during break. We played bridge before the classes. We played bridge after classes. And it was extremely, extremely popular. We had some organized bridge classes, which was not a part of, like, extra curriculum, not a part of school, but after the cool time. We get some money to go to a tournament. We had older, already graduated students that were running these classes for us, and they were already experienced players. I think, yeah, that's how it worked. Now I know that there are several classes in Poland where bridge is a regular school subject, and you get grades, and then it's like a part of curriculum. I'm not sure it's a good idea, because, you know, I think it should be fun, but works apparently. Like, recently I visited a bridge camp that are run by my friend, and there were like 60 children playing bridge, you know, for like 10 hours a day, and basically they didn't want to stop unless we told them to, and like took the cards away. So that was really, really something very, very nice.
It was embedded in your culture to a significant degree, it sounds like.
Kind of, you know, like, Poland has been always very successful in bridge, and we had a lot of talented players. So, yeah, I don't know if, you know, if there are any other card games that are that popular, but I think that it helps also that in Poland bridge is considered a sport, and then, like, the championships are funded by, like, Ministry of Sport. Young people doesn't have to pay for it, which is very important.
So you have a toddler at home.
Mm-hmm.
When he's old enough, are you happy to teach him bridge?
Sure, why not? As I mentioned before, you know, our whole family is playing bridge, so I'm sure his grandpa would be very happy to play with him. So far, it looked like he's interested in it, because many times when I practice, he joins me and, you know, looking at it and already know the name of suits and the cards. So, I mean, I don't think I will especially encourage him, but for sure I'll not discourage him also. We'll see.
Do you think one has to have a particular temperament to be a good bridge player?
Not really. I think a different set of skills is needed to be a good bridge player, because I know a lot of class players who are, you know, like the whole variety of temperament, from being very, very active, nervous, whatever, to ones that are very, very calm and never lose their temper. And so
What are the set of skills that you would say are intrinsic to being a good bridge player?
Pretty basic knowledge of maths and probabilities and stuff like this. But, you know, for sure, being too smart doesn't help, because I also know a lot of really, really smart people who are not so good at bridge.
Phew! I'm so happy to hear that.
I think you need some psychological skills. You need to be able to read people, to acknowledge their behaviors that tells you something about their card. Maintaining your concentration for a long, long time is particularly important, because at the top level, pretty much everyone know the basics. They know how to execute a squeeze, they know how to beat. And I think the biggest number of imp we could win is that somebody makes a mistake. This is, you know, far below his level, his abilities, because he's losing his concentration.
Yeah, and I'm sure our listeners are always interested in finding out how people can develop those skills, especially concentration, which seems to be so important. Are there any of those skills that you find yourself working especially hard to develop or putting more emphasis on or your focus on?
To be honest, it's hard to say I'm working on, you know, particular part of bridge. I think the like biggest part of improving my game is just playing, and it's been always the best training for me. Especially, you know, playing against good opponents, because if you're playing against good opponents, you have to be focused all the time, because they are dangerous and they can make something special at any time. So you really need to be there and be careful. But I think fortunately, for a while already, I'm playing against really, really good opponents, and that helps, you know, a lot too.
Do you just naturally have the ability to concentrate intensely?
Yes, I would think so. It got better throughout years. As I said before, the main reason I could lose my concentration was because I got nervous. Even when I was playing like some board games with my friend, I could, you know, stay there as long as I find out like what's the best strategy, and I didn't want to stop, you know, before I win. So
do you ever feel yourself losing concentration?
Sometimes, yes. I think the worst part of my game is that I'm losing concentration after a bad board, that I'm still thinking about what happened before and why I made a mistake. And then that's what makes me lose concentration and usually, you know, causing another mistake.
Are there any things in particular that make you nervous?
I'm trying to work on it. I think I improved a lot. For sure, when I started to play against the top opponent, it was tough. You know, when I think it's like this for everybody, when he's sitting against Maxwell or against the Italian masters, you know, you are nervous. It's quite natural. Then after you're playing them for 100th time, or, you know, your teammates on many occasions and your friends, it just get easier and easier, and at some point you just treat them as everyone else. We help you to play better.
Maybe they're looking at you and feeling nervous.
I don't know. I wouldn't say so. I don't think we are particularly scary, but you know, you would have to ask our opponent.
You said though that you've been working on it. In what ways?
I mean, I didn't work with any specialist, if that was the question. I was just, you know, trying to explain myself that, you know, they are just human beings, they make mistakes. What I think helped most, it was just playing against them on many, many occasions. Like every hand you played against them makes you more relaxed. And
so you're not imagining them there with no clothes on or something?
No, not really.
You know, they say that about if you are addressing a crowd and you're nervous, imagine everybody sitting there naked. that you're not doing that at the table.
This technique I didn't know. I don't think I would go for it.
No.
Are there any books that have really been important to your development as a bridge player or that you like to recommend?
Yes. I mean, I like most of the bridge books. I think I read most of them. I also like to read bridge magazines and like everything that is connected to the game. I think the most recent that I really like are Krzysztof Martens' book. He's a coach of the Swiss team and also very popular author. I don't know how popular he is in the States, but I mean, I know there are English versions of his books also in Poland. They're popular, and also we are friends, so I had easy access to these books. And I have to say I like them a lot because they are dedicated for high-level players, which is not very common. There are not that many books. Understandably, because, you know, you like to sell them to a lot of people, not only to professionals, but of course, everybody could read them and try to improve, but they are okay level for world-class players also.
Do you have a favorite tournament that you really like to play? Obviously, the World Championships, etc. But maybe, is there a place that you love to visit that has a tournament or some other tournament for another reason?
I wouldn't say World Championships are my favorite tournament because, you know, it's one of the toughest. 2 weeks of high-level bridge is very, very exhausting. Recently, bridge is mostly a job for me, so I'm really missing playing just a social game with a lot of fun, partying and stuff like this.
What was the last social bridge game that you played?
I think, you know, a family game. When my grandpa was alive, when we were visiting her, we play with her. She died last year, so...
Oh, sorry.
Now, she was 94 already, so it was her time.
If you were just able to invite a couple of people around tomorrow for a relaxed, fun game, who would you invite? Would it just be friends who happen to play a bit of bridge, or would it be champions who you're friends with, but just to have some fun with some cards around the kitchen table?
That's a tough question. I think if I have a chance, you know, just to make anything I could, I would invite everyone, like old friends that haven't played bridge in a while already, and also, you know, the people I know and like from now. So that would be a mix, I think.
Would you have any snacks there? What would be your snacks?
This is a tough question. I would leave it for my wife. I'm not an expert in cooking. I'm not an expert in organizing parties. So I think I would find someone to help.
Defer to an expert. Earlier in the interview, you were talking about your partner, Michael Klukowski, and you called him Kluki. Does he have a nickname for you?
Most of my friends call me Kali.
Kali?
Yeah, short version from my last name. But it's kind of easy nickname because this is a very popular character from, I think, one of the most popular books in Poland for kids. This is quite like an easy target, I would say.
What would you say has been the most annoying or aggravating part of the game for you?
Well, I mean, in general, I love the game. I have a lot of friends in the bridge world, and, you know, it's a big part of my life. Recently, I went through a bit unpleasant experience. We had, me in particular, and our team as a whole, we had a small issue with directors at Bermuda Bowl. The list of reviews from Marrakesh has been posted on Bridge Winners, and some of the members made rather unpleasant posts about my behavior at the table. And yeah, that was quite shocking to me because, you know, they were not there. They had no idea what happened. I did what I do very rarely. I got involved in the discussion. I want to present my point of view and what I thought really happened at the table. Obviously, it was not a success. And Yeah, at some point I decided to stop posting.
Was the aggravation about the way that people were responding to your comments, or was it about what had happened with the director calls, or a combination of the two things?
Probably a combination. Of course, I believe directors try to do their best to solve the problems, but what I think they should care of is also how players at the table feel. And I think the good directors should be trying to calm players down and try to explain them everything, all the rules, because, you know, we are not experts in this field. Like, we are players, not directors. Then I can say hi to one of my favorite, Matt Smith, who already retired. I don't know if you...
He retired, yeah.
But I have to say, he was like exemplary director to me, even when he was giving unfavorable verdict for me. He always cared that I understand what's going on, and he did it in a way, even if it was not going your way, you were still happy. And I think that's the way it should be handled. So, hi, Matt.
So you feel that the director's calls should also be about making sure that the players are in a good situation, as well as enforcing the rules? Like, it's how the rulings are made as much as what the rulings are.
Yeah, it's a tough subject. I have to say, I have some admiration for their job, because it's very hard, and it's a lot of work under a lot of stress. Like, players are allowed to make a mistake that they just lose some imp. Directors cannot really make a mistake, because they will be blamed for it. So, I mean, I have a lot of respect for their work, but, you know, sometimes just some unpleasant things happen. It's the part of the game.
Jacek, do you have a favorite bridge convention or gadget that you really love?
Well, I have to say my favorite convention is Blackwood. It works perfect 1,000 times for us, and I have to say, not using it, we're not good on many occasions, so it's clearly my favorite convention, and I recommend it to everyone.
Is there a particular convention that you detest, and that when partners suggest it, you say, absolutely not?
Whereas I strongly believe transfers are the future of the game, and especially in competitive bidding, they are, I believe, superior by far. At the beginning, with Michael Nowosadzki, we started to play transfers in an uncontested auction over one club opening. But somehow, we got only bad results when we are using transfers. So after a couple of months, we decided we stop, and things started to go much better for us. I don't know, you know. So sometimes, and I mean, probably they are also good in uncontested auction, but they were just not working for us. I mean, I believe, you know, you have to feel comfortable with your system, and I agree with Jeff Maxtrot. I think he said system is 5% of your game, even though, you know, they worked a lot on the system, and they had probably at some point the best system in the world. It's still a very, very little part of the game, considering you are using, you know, reasonable methods. I have to say, now with Lukowski, we have quite a complex system with a lot of modern invention. But yeah, I still think, you know, like, the best part of our game is just card play and bidding bravely and then trying to make the contract.
What's the best bridge tip or advice that you've ever been given?
I don't know if it's really a bridge tip, but the tip that I like is from Jeff Maxtrot, and it's, go get them, boys.
That's perfect.
Jacek, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks so much, Jacek. It's been terrific.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And that's the show. Many thanks to our guest, Jacek Kalita.
Thank you also to our Sorry Partner posse of listener supporters who make the show possible.
Sorry Partner is produced by Catherine Harris with production assistance from Jade Gray. Our theme music was composed by Jocelyn Starts and produced by Daniel Graboy.
Send your bridge stories and comments to sorrypartnerpodcast@gmail.com or send us a voice message. And please consider joining the Sorry Partner posse that helps keep us on the air, so to speak. You'll get ad-free episodes, a monthly newsletter, and other supporter perks. These links and links to Club Kvel and our merch store are in your app, on the website at sorrypartner.com, or wherever you like to listen. We'd love to hear from you, but be nice, or we'll call the director. Until next time, play well.
May all your finesses be on side. And remember, as Yartsek says, go get 'em. Thank you, partner.
Thank you, partner, and go get 'em, partner. Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.